Okay, so hopefully there'll be no glitches. Let's hope, Davin. So today's daf is Erev and Daf Dalid. The primary discussion today will actually be the shiurim. A lot of shiurim. Different items have different shiurim. So we're gonna begin our discussion about the debate between whether an amma is six amos, six tefachim, or five tefachim. And then we're going to have a broader discussion about Shiurim in this daf. We saw yesterday's daf, there was a debate whether an Amma is six Tfachim or five Tfachim. And depends perhaps on if we're talking about Sukkah and Mavoy or Kilayim. That's what Rava, we left off at the last line of Daf Gimel Amud Beis, after Rava said in the name of Rav Nachman that all Amos are all, I'm sorry. So let's start two lines from the bottom of Gilman Beis. So Rava has a different opinion than what we said before, that some say that it's five tfachim or six tfachim. Rava says that kol amos ba'ama bas shisha, all amos, whether we're talking about an ama in regard to the Hilchos Mavoy and Sukkah, or whether we're talking about an ama regarding kilayim, so that's ba'ama bas shisha. It's six tefachim. Again, a tefach is anywhere between 3 and 4 inches. It's about like a fist, the shape of a fist. Ella halalu sochakos v'halalu atzevos. Rather, there is a difference between the ama of a mavoy and a sukkah and an ama of a kelayim. The ama of a mavoy and a sukkah are what's called playful amos, sochakos. What does it mean, playful? It means they're larger. It means that the fingers are a little bit wider, like a person who's laughing, when that his lips are more spread out or more open. And halalu atsevos, the ama of a mavoy are what we're referring to, that so that you measure with the ama itself, meaning very narrow tfachim, that the fingers are connected to each other, like a person who's very sad, so his lips are together. So I guess, I don't know, my Masechta Gemara, they have like different pictures. The Sochet is a little bit spread apart, and the Atzavos are together. So again, the debate, it may not be such a lamas, a practical difference, but it's a difference in terms of, do you believe it's six versus five? But Rava says, no, it's always six. But are they tight six, or are they wide six? Now we're going to bring a question on Abaye, who said it's six versus five from yesterday's daf. So all the amos said that the chachamim said to measure with them, ba'ama bashisha, they're all six. Uvilvad shelo yehu mechuvanos, as long as they're not 100% precise. They shouldn't be 100% precise. They should be a little bit, right, a little bit wider. So the Gemara says Bishlama l'Rava, according to Rava. So this all makes sense because Rava held that all the amos are six tefachim. Rather, some of them are a little bit spread out and some of them are tighter. So the Braisa says Uvovad shelo yehu mechuvanos. The intent is to distinguish between the amos of kilayim and the amos of Sukkah and Mavoy.
Sukkah and Mavoy.
Right, amos Sukkah and Mavoy. Ki heche de lehevin halalu sochakos. That the amos of Kilayim are a little bit wider. And the halalu and the amos of Sukkah and Mavoy are much tighter. Okay? So that makes sense. Ella le'abaye, but according to Abaye, who holds that Sukkah and Mavoy are measured with five tefach amos. Kasha, it's a question, because the Braisa said that they are all six tefach amos. So Amar Lach Abaye would say to you, by the way, when the Gemara says Amar Lach, it doesn't mean that Abaye is actually saying it. The Gemara is saying if Abaye was alive today, this is what he would say to answer the question on him. Ema, Amas kilayim ba'ama bas shisha. That the Braisa is not saying that that all amos are six tefachim. Rather, the Braisa is saying that an amma of kilayim that is measured with six tefachim, meaning those with our six tefach amos, should not be mechuvanos, meaning they shouldn't be tight, but rather they should be larger. So it's not, in other words, initially the Gemara thought that this was referring, when it says that all the amos that the rabbis discuss is that are six tefachim amos, so that was initially what the Gemara thought. If I would read it like this, they would say, no, all amos that are six tefachim, these are the requirements. The Gemara then asks, V'had mikad diktari seifa, but wait a second, the seifa of the brisis is the following. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer kol amos shemu chacham b'kalayim ba ama bas shisha uvad shelo yehu mitzumtzamos. So then we have the latter part of the brisa cites the view of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, who says all the amos that the chacham said regarding kilayim are talking about six tefach amos, as long as they're not tight. Miklal the tarakama kol amos kamar. So what must that mean? That since Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel is arguing on the first opinion, which is the Tanakama, is saying that all amos are six tefachim, not just kilayim amos. In other words, again, the sefer the Brisa says, Shimon ben Gamliel says that specifically by kilayim it's six tefachim, and so that would mean that the Tanakama would hold that all amos are measured with six tefachim. So that's a question on Abaye. Abaye would respond to you, yeah, but I'm holding like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Right, aren't you saying that, he says, Ana da Amri Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So he's saying that, isn't there someone holds like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? I hold like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So Abaye holds like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who holds that only kilayim is a six tefach amma, as opposed to the Tanakama, who holds differently. And so therefore, the Gemara says, La Abaye Vade Tanahi, according to Abaye, he believes that there is a machlokas Tanai. In other words, some Tanaim, the Tanakama, whoever it is in this Braisa, holds that all amos are six tefach amos, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds that no, by kilayim it's a six tefach amma, and and for Mavoy and Sukkah, it's a five tefach amma, and so there clearly is a machlokas tanaim, but l'Rava milema tanaihi, is there a machlokas tanaim according to Rava? Rava seems to say, no, they're all six tefach amos, just some are tight and some are not tight, the tefach. So Amar lach Rava, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, so he wants Rav. The way Rava reads the Brisa is that the Tanakama and Shimon Gamliel do not argue on whether an Amma is six tefachim or five tefachim. Really, everyone holds that it's six tefachim, and all he's saying is that the Amma of a kilayim, you shouldn't. It should be very wide, right? In other words, there are two factors here. Right, in measuring an amma, is it five tefachim or six tefachim, or is it? And the second question is every tefach, is it tight or is it wider? Right, so that's sort of going into this conversation, this discussion. So, for example, Rava, who holds every amma is six tefachim, so the debate between the Tanakhama and Shimon Gamliel is simply whether these tefachim are tight or not tight. Whereas the way Abaye understands the Braisa is that they not only, is that the primary debate is whether the amos of Sukkah and Mavoy are five tefachim or six tefachim. So then the Gemara...
Rishon Galeo is actually explaining the Tanakhama.
No.
He's not arguing.
No.
He's actually just coming to explain the Tanakhama. According to Rav.
Okay, I'm sorry. You're right. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is saying that. Sorry, let me strike that. Right. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is saying to. He's explaining the Tanakhama, who's saying that the Amma of Kilayim, we don't measure them tightly, but we measure them spread out. All right. So he's just explaining it. Correct. Sorry about that. Okay. So the Gemara is saying, "Veleima amas kilayim lo yitzamtzem." So if that's the case, if that's all they want to say, why does it say the amas kilayim? You shouldn't. It should just say so. Don't make it tight. Make it wide. Ba'ama bashisha limute mai. But why? So why does he say the phrase? Why does Shmuel say the phrase ba'ama bashisha? If everyone agrees to that, why is he adding that? What does that come to exclude? La limute ama sukkah amas mavoi. Does that not come to exclude the ama of a sukkah or a mavoi? In other words, the kilayim yes has six tefachim and sukkah and mavoi only have five tefachim. The Gemara responds, "Lo, that's not what it comes to exclude. But it comes to exclude limute ama yisod, to exclude the ama of the height of the foundation of the mizbeach." Va'ama sovev, and the ama of the ledge of the outer mizbeach, that's five tefachim. There are at least three parts of the outer mizbeach. Right, there are two mizbechos. There's the inner mizbeach, which is in the heichal, and then there's the outer mizbeach, which is right outside the mikdash. And there's the base, what's called the yesod. Then there's the sovev on top of that, which is the ledge. And then there's the place of the maracha, where you put the pyre, where you put the wood, and you burn the korbanos on this mizbeach. So you have three parts. So the yesod. So let's, the Gemara is now going to bring us. So the Gemara here wants to say that the height of the yesod, which was a tefach, but it was a five. I'm sorry, an ama. It was a five tefach ama, and the sovev, the ledge, was wider than the top part, the place of the maracha, by one tefach. And again, that tefach is a five tefach ama. So again, what the Gemara is saying here is that according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, at least the way Rav understands it, that mavoi, sukkah, and kilayim, when they measure with an amma, they're all six tefachim amos, six tefach amma. But there are certain things that are measured in five tefach amma. So what are they? Yesod and sovev. And the Gemara is giving a source for this. So dichsiv, because it's written in the prophecy of Yecheskel about the measurements of the Adam Mizbeach in the upcoming third Beis Hamikdash. And he writes, Ve'elu midos hamizbeach ba'amos amma amma v'tofach. So he says the following: the measures of the mizbeach are an amma, amma v'tofach. What does it mean, amma and amma v'tofach? So it means all of them have the shear of the smaller amma of five tefachim plus one tefach. So he says, however, so he says most, in other words, most of the amma measurements of the mizbeach assume a six tefach amma, but there are some that are only five tefach amas. And what are they? V'cheka amma, v'amma v'rochav, u'gvula el svasa saviv zera sarachad, v'zeh gav hamizbeach. All of these things, which we're going to explain in a minute, are measured in a smaller amma of five tefachim. So Gemara wants to explain these details. Cheka amma zeh yesod. The cheik amma, that's referring to the foundation, the base of the mizbeach, that the height was an amma, but it was a five tefach amma. Va'amma rochav, so that when the pasuk says amma rochav, zeh soviv, that's the ledge of the mizbeach on top of the base, that the width, it's wider than the wall of the mizbeach, you know, the place where you put the wood, the firewood on, and the korbanos, its width wider by an amma of five tefachim. Ugvula el svasa saviv elu hakrados. So you have four corners, like different crowns that are on each of the four corners. There's like a keren, a little horn, on top of the each corner of the mizbeach, and there the measurement is an amma by an amma, by an amma high, and the amma high and the amma wide is five tefachim. And v'zeg gav hamizbeach, the mizbeach hazahav, and the inner mizbeach, the mizbeach hazahav, was an amma that was in the Heichal. So that's an Amma by an Amma, and that's measured by 5 Tfachim Amos. Okay? So that is a little brief, the debate between whether it's 6 Tfachim or 5 Tfachim. So again, we have 4 categories, just so we can remember. We have, everyone agrees Kilayim is 6 Tfachim. Mavui and Sukkah, we have the debate, are they 6 Tefach or 5 Tefach Amos? And then everyone seems to agree that some of these dimensions of the Mizbeach are only 5 Tfachim. Okay, now Amar Rav Chiya Bar Ashi Marav Shiurim Chatzitzim Umachitzin Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. The Shiurim, different measurements of what you need to be chayav, to be liable. For example, it says you cannot eat fat or blood. So there, how much for you to be to violate a Torah prohibition? So that is kezias and chatzitzin, different impediments that prevent the pasul someone who goes to the mikvah. Right, if a person has a something sticking to them, so then that would invalidate their immersion. And mechitzin, the laws of mechitza, that it should be 10 tefachim high. And all the other laws of Mechitza are Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. What's a Halacha L'Moshe Misinai? So Halacha L'Moshe Misinai is that we believe, at least the Rambam says, in his Hakdama L'Perisha Mishnayos, he says that all the Halachas of the Torah and all their details and explanations were given to Moshe at Sinai. However, there were Halachos that don't have an hint in the Torah, and you can't learn them from one of the Midosh HaTorah Nidrashas Bahem. Sometimes we learn things based on, let's say, Gzeirah Shavah, Kal Vachomer, different, or something called hermeneutical principles. So anything that was given that we believe was taught to Moshe that's not explicit or hinted in the Torah that cannot be learned from a logical principle is called a halacha l'Moshe Misinai. So the Gemara is now going to ask, you mean to say shiurim chatzitz mechitzin halacha l'Moshe Misinai? Shiurim d'oraisa hu, shiurim are d'oraisa, the Torah says explicitly. Or it's not explicitly, but at least it's hinted to in the Torah. Dirsiv, because the Pasuk says, Eretz Chita Seora. So, right, Eretz Yisrael is blessed for being a land of wheat, barley, and also Gefentena, Rimon, Eretz Zet, Shemen, and Dvash, right? 7 species. V'amar Rav Chanan called Pasuk Zeli Shiur Nemar. Why is it simply the Torah saying, oh, to tell you how great Eretz Yisrael is? No! It's to tell you, it's very specific, that these 7 foods are used as to teach you various Shiurim, various types of measurements. So the there's a whole debate, of course, as to whether the Shiurim refer to the size of these Shiurim at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu or in the time of every single generation. Right, that's like the classic debate about, you know, when I send out a handout of how much matzah we have to eat on Pesach. So the simple answer probably is, well, take an olive, go to the store, take an olive, and that's how much matzah you have to eat. So why is it much larger? So I do say, by the way, if it's too difficult to have a larger shear, there is obviously a reasonable opinion that you can only have an olive size of matzah. But the reason those opinions that hold that you have to have more than your average olive size nowadays are following the position that when we say the size of an olive, for example, it's referring to an olive in the generation of Moshe, and you also have to believe that those olives are larger than now, and a lot of other assumptions. But that's an interesting question in general. When we talk about the Shiurim, do we refer to the Shiurim of nowadays, or do we refer to the Shiurim back then, assuming we can figure out what the Shiurim were back then? Obviously, it's a broader discussion. But in any case, Chita. So what is wheat talent? What shear is for wheat? So let's say you walk into a house where that has tsaras, and your clothing are on your shoulders, and your sandals and your rings are in your hands. So in other words, you're not wearing them. So then huvehem tamei biyad. You and the clothing are tamei immediately. Hayalavush visandalav. Baragla, Vitabos. By the way, that's called Tumas Ohel, right? If you walk into a house where there's Tuma, there are different ways you become Tuma, either by touching, Tumas Nega, Amaga, Tumas Masa, if you carry something even if you don't touch it, and also Tumas Ohel, Tumas Ohel can mean either you serve as an Ohel, that you walk on top of the object, or if you are in the same ohel, the same room, same tent, literally, as the thing that has tumah, so then you can also become tummy. So here we talk about tumah's ohel, and you become tummy immediately. Ha'yulavush kelav v'sandala v'ragla v'tavosav etzbaosav. So let's say, though, you're wearing clothing, and your shoes are on your feet, and your rings are on your fingers like normal. So there, hu tameh miyad, you become tameh immediately, because the pasuk says, v'haba el habayit, as long as you walk into the house, you become tameh immediately. V'heim, but the clothing, tahorim ach yishe b'chtei achilas pras. Then the clothing is tahor, unless you remain there the time it takes to eat a pras. So what's a pras? Pras is a half a loaf of bread, and some say it's the shear of 3 eggs or 4 eggs. We are probably more familiar with the concept of bichtei achilas pras when it comes to, let's say, eating on Yom Kippur if you need to, or eating, or let's say, how quickly do you have to eat your matzah, right? So in other words, certain things we have to say, you have to eat it like a normal person sits and eats regularly. How long you would eat bichtei achilas pras, either 3 eggs or 4 eggs. So, by the way, the poskim hold that it is a major debate. First of all, is it 3 or 4 eggs, and how long is it to eat each one? So there's a range of opinion anywhere between 2 and 9 minutes. I think like the average is 4. I think Moshe finds a tshuva that when you eat, let's say even your Shabbos meal, right? So you're supposed to have the bread, bichtei achilas pras. You should, let's say you have a kezias of bread, right? You have a challah. So you cut the challah, you eat the challah. You should try to have a kezias of challah at least within 4 minutes. That's like, I think, an average standard opinion of Moshe writes. Because otherwise, it might not be considered like you ate bread in that meal. And if you didn't eat bread in that meal, then you have to recite brachos and all the other foods in your bread meal. So you have to make sure, which is the problem. I mean, when you make the bracha of hamotzi on your bread, so you exempt all the other foods, so you need to make sure that you have that bread, bichtei achilas pras, let's say within 4 minutes. We say it's an average between 2 and 9 minutes. So let's say in Yom Kippur, we tell people who need to eat for certain health reasons. So if in a situation where they're allowed to eat based on health reasons, so we try to tell them, if possible, try to eat like whatever it is, every certain amount, less than a shear, every 9 minutes. But the truth is, if you can't eat every 9 minutes, we actually go down 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, because there is an opinion that even every 2 minutes, even 2 minutes is k'dei achilas pras. But okay. So anyway, this is what we learned for chita, because chita, so has to do with chita. So we're saying it's pas chitim velo pas saorim. It's the time it takes to eat a half of bread that's made of wheat and not barley. Barley takes longer to eat, barley bread. And meitzav, when you're sitting down. And also when you're eating it with other food as well. So you eat it with some relish, and not with some condiment, and not eating the bread by itself. So it seems here is from the law of chita, we learn the time that it takes to wait in a house of where they have tzaras with wearing clothing, that your clothing only becomes tameh if you wait in that house the time it takes to eat a half a loaf of wheat bread. So that's the shear they learn from chita. Sora is also from the Torah. Barley did not, because we learn in Mishnah Olos, Perek Beis, Mishnah Gimel, etzem seora matami b'mago v'masaveda matami b'ohel, a bone of a corpse that is the size of a barley, it makes a person tame if the person touches it, or if he carries a bone of the corpse, even if he didn't touch it. But there's no tumas ohel if you walk into a room where there is a bone of a mace, he doesn't become tame tumas ohel, because there's no rule of tumas ohel. You actually need a kezias, a flesh from the mace to be metame also be'ohel. So, but again, anyway, we see here that barley, the size of a barley, so that also has a shear in the Torah, and that comes from the Torah as well. So the gefen kidei revi'is yayin. So what about gefen? So that's the revi'is of wine, the revi'is of a lug of wine. So that shear is for a nazir. If he drinks that amount, you're chayav malchus. Te'ena, a fig. So that's kigro geres lehotzah Shabbos. If you carry something, it's on lechs mesechta. If you carry a food from a private domain to a public domain, or four amos in a public domain, you're only chayav if you carry a food, something the size of a dried fig. Rimon, what about a pomegranate? So kidignan called clay bale batim shirun kirimonim. So we saw that, I think we saw this also in the last Masechta, also he quoted this Mishnah in Kalim. So let's say a kli is tame. So how does a kli become tahor? If you break it. So it's not so usable. So in other words, if a kli becomes unusable, so then now it's tahor. So how does a kli become unusable? So let's say there's a big hole. Right, you have a basket, or you have whatever it is. You have a bowl, and you want to put food in it. So obviously, if it has a hole in the bottom, so it can no longer, you know, it loses its function. How big does the hole have to be? So if it's a regular household kli, if it's the size of a pomegranate, if the hole is the size of a pomegranate, so then the kli becomes tahor because it's not fit really for use anymore. That's what they okay. So that's rimon. Eretz Zeit Shemen. So how do we what do we learn about olive? Eretz Shekol Shiura Kazaisim. So that so many Shiurim we learn about Kazayas. So what do we see from here? So the Gemara says, side question, Kol Shiura Solka Daita. What? Every single Shiur is based on a Kazayas. Like Kahani Dharma, we just mentioned other Shiurim which are not Kazayas. Elaima Eretz Shirov Shiura Kazaisim. Okay, it's a land where most of the Shiurim are based on kezesim. You learn the size of an olive. For example, eating forbidden fats, eating blood, eating nosar, leftover korban meat, eating pigol, that's where you had improper thoughts when you sacrifice the korban, eating kachim meat that became tamei. All of them, the liability is when the shear of a kezias. Now also, devash, when it comes to honey, or date honey, it's really date, devash is dates, so that's the size where you're chayev if you eat on Yom Kippur. So now we have a question now. Rav Chanan said that the shiurim, this is all by Rav Chanan. Rav Chanan said that all these shiurim were said or hinted at in the Torah. So there's a question on Rav who said that the shiurim are halacha l'boshe b'sidai. So Gemara asked, to answer this, the Gemara asked, wait a second. These shiurim that Rav Chanan said, are they explicitly mentioned in the Torah? They're not explicitly mentioned in the Torah. Right? Rather, they are hinted. Ella hilchasa dinhu. Rather what? No, all of these are halacha lemosha misinai that we just mentioned. Vasmechinu rabbonon akrai. But the rabbis found a hint to it and linked it to the shiurim. The simple way to understand. So what's an asmachta? So the Rabbah says that an asmachta is a simon kadesh yiskus adin. It's just a sign so they're going to remember the halacha. In other words, what are we saying here? We're saying that Rav Chanan told you all of these, I'm sorry, we have all these different halachos, and we want you to remember them. So what's a good way to remember them? So the rabbi said, let's have this one pasuk where we have seven different words. It's like it's a learning device. And asmachta is a learning device. And therefore, that's what Rav Chanan is really saying. All these shiurim, all these measurements are all halacha l'moshe m'sinai. And we linked it to this pasuk, but that's the rabbis did it merely as a learning device. That's the way the Rambam understands this. The Ritva says that this opinion is, he says, das minus lomar shasmachta in al simon. It's a heretical view to say that asmachta is only a simon. And he says, he wants to say that it really, an asmachta reflects that Hashem, it's roy lasos kach. Hashem is sort of saying this is the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it was not established as an obligation. And the Torah gave the rabbis the right to determine if they will establish it as a chova, as an obligation. So the different understandings of what an asmachta means. Is it simply a simon, so you can remember it? Or is there real, does it reflect the ratzot of Hashem, even though there's no chova, there's no fixed obligation, but it reflects the ratzot of Hashem to give over to Chazal to sort of find psukim for this. Okay, the Gemara continues and it says, Chatzitzim Doraisa Ninu. Do you mean to say that Chatzitzim are Doraisa? Dichsiv, I'm sorry. Do you mean to say Chatzitzin is a halacha Moshe B'Sidai? But Chatzitzim Doraisa Ninu. Chatzitzim is really Doraisa. Dichsiv, V'rachas, that's called Besara Babaya. The Torah says that the person should wash all of his body, his flesh, literally in water. Shelo yehe davar chotis bein besara lamayim. There shouldn't be anything impeding between his flesh and the water. That's a chatzitza. And also, by the way, bamayim indicates b'mei mikveh. So what do you learn from bamayim? We're talking about a balkari. So we're at a seminal emission that we're saying that even a balkari can immerse in mikveh water. Right? There are two different types of two different ways you become tar in bodies of water. Either in mei mikveh or mei geshamim, either in spring water, or in a zav. So that's someone who had an emission and for 3 days, let's say three times in a row. So if you're a zav, you actually need mei mayan. You actually need spring water. A balkari is even in a mei mikveh, which is like mei geshamim, rainwater that's collected in one place. Most of our mikvahs are based on this mei mikveh, which is means to get rainwater that's gathered in one place. And now kol b'saro, from the words kol b'saro, we learn that you need to immerse b'mayim shekol gufo ola bohem. And you need the water has to be enough water that your average person can place his whole body at once. B'kavahed, how much is that? Ama al ama barum shalosh amos. One ama by one ama in the height of three amos. So one by three amos. Vishiru chachamim me mikvah arbaim sa. So this 40 sa'ah measurement is based on this calculation of one by one by three. Okay? So the Gemara says, "V'chi itzrech hilchasa." So now Gemara is going to answer. How can you say it's halacha l'moshe b'sinai? We have a pasuk. "Ki itzrech hilchasa." What's halacha l'moshe b'sinai by chatzitzin? Lisa aro. When it comes to the hair that a chatzitza also invalidates, even with the hair. Uchti Rabba Bar Rav Huda. Da Rabba Bar Huda. Neima achas kishura chotzetes. Let's say you have a one strand of hair that's tied by to itself. So that serves as a chatzitza, and the tefillah would not work because if you have, like, say, one string of hair and that's tied to itself, it's very tight. Now, nowadays, let's say if a woman goes to the mikvah and she has, let's say she doesn't even know, she has some hair that's sort of tied, but she doesn't even know about it. She's not makbid on it. I assume sometimes her hair gets in knots. I'm not an expert in these things, but I was told sometimes your hair might get stuck. We try to make sure that there are no knots. But if it's something is, we try to avoid it at all costs. We try to avoid having knots. But let's say there's something that you do the best you can to make sure you have no knots. If something in the end may have something that you didn't catch and it's completely not recognizable, that's called edomakpid, and therefore that doesn't serve as a problem. But by the way, shalosh enochotzos. But if you have three hairs that are in one knot, so there, the knot is not so strong because three hairs tied together are loose enough. So if you have one hair that the knot is very tight, so no water can get into perhaps a certain part of the hair since it's where the knot is. But if there are three hairs that are tied together, the knot is not so strong and the water can enter into that area of the knot. Shtaimei yodea, two, I don't know. By the way, again, in practice, we try to make sure there are no knots at all because we want to make sure. But really, the halacha is that as long as the water gets into every part of your body, every part of your hair, then it's not a chatzitza. So the Gemara is now going to ask, ah, sorrow, David, the rise. So what do we see? But how can you say this is only halacha moshe b'sidai? Hair is also the halacha of chatzitza by hair is also the rise of the tanya because we learn a brisa. Verachas, that's called b'saro. Though it says verachas es. The word S is hatafel libsaro, so that's what's ancillary to the body, what's connected to the body, vizel sayar. So it seems also from the Torah, there is a hint to the fact that chatzitza, the laws of chatzitza apply even to the hair. So the Gemara says, answers, you're right. The main laws of chatzitza are learned from the pasuk. Ki ase hilchusa, what part of this concept of chatzitza is halacha l'mashibi Sinai? Lerubo, lemiuto, lemakbid sheino makbid. Telachas of rov, miut, makbid sheino makbid. So what is that? Uchta Rabbi Yitzchak. Like what Rabbi Yitzchak said. The Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, because Rabbi Yitzchak said, Devar Torah, according to the Torah, rubo umakbid alav. That lets the only, the chatzitza only applies if something's on the majority of your body, or say the majority of your hair, let's say, and you are, you care about it. Let's say there's dirt and on the majority of your hair, and you don't want this dirt. So that would serve as a chatzitza, as an impediment, and that would invalidate the tefillah, either on your body or on your hair. We view them, I believe, separately. And so minat Torah, the halach of chatzitza only applies if both conditions are met. Condition number one is rubo, and condition number two is makpid alav. V'she'eno makpid alav, eno chotzeitz, and let's say it's rubo, but you don't care. The classic case they give is like, let's say you're a painter, and your body is full of paint. So you don't care, that's how you look. So even if it's a majority of your body, so that's not a chatzitza min ha-Torah.
Rubo means that the chatzitza has to be a majority of your body. So if it's less than that, it's not considered a chatzitza.
Min ha-Torah.
Uh-huh.
We'll get there in a second. There are three levels, Howie. Number one is what's min ha-Torah, chatzitza. Number two is what's midrabanan. And number three is what we do lechatchila in practice. Okay? Mm-hmm. We'll get there. Okay. We'll get there. Bear with me for a minute. It's a good question. So he says, right? V'she'edo makpid alav edo chotzeitz. V'gazru al rubo she'edo makpid b'shim rubo ha-makpid. And the rabbis made a decree, if let's say it's a majority and you don't care, so the painter case, they would say it's a gzeira, that we say that it is chotzeit mishum rubo ha-makpid, because it's, even if it's edo makpid, we still say that it serves as a chatzitza. And also, ve'al miuto ha-makpid mishum rubo ha-makpid. They also made a gzeira if only a small part of your body and something that bothers you. So in other words, min ha-Torah, you require both conditions for it to be a chatzitza, rubo and makpid. Midrabanan, it would be if either condition, miut or makpid. What would and then the Gemara asks, Velitzer Nami al miutu she'ena makpid. Why don't you make a gzeira if it's miut she'ena makpid, it's a small part of your body and you don't care about it? So the Gemara says, Mishum miut ha-makpid, just because of miut ha-makpid. So inami mishum rubo she'eno makpid. So why don't you make a second gzeira? So the Gemara says, he goof a gzeira about a nekel munigzar gzeira gzeira. He says, no, we're not going to make a double drabot. We're not making a double gzeira. In other words, min ha-Torah, the chatzitza is only chatzitza if both conditions are present. Midrabanan, if only one condition is present. Now the Gemara is saying, what if no conditions are present? It's miut and eno makpid, but it's still a chatzitza. There's some dirt or something stuck to you. So why don't we make a gzeira? He says, no, we're not going to make a double gzeira. We're not going to make gzeira that would lead to something that itself is only an issur drabanan. Let me just point out again that min that the Ramah paskins that even though the Chachamim do not go there on miut she'eno makpid, so lechatchila we try to avoid that. So that's why say women go to the mikvah. So at the end of the day, they're going to try to remove everything, even a miut she'eno makpid. But sometimes I mean, there are many different factors here, but it could be sometimes, let's say if a woman went to the mikvah already and it was something, I don't know, some kind of nail polish or something, and it looked good. A lot of these questions, there are a lot of different questions about how long the nail polish. But let's say for example, you know, could be that if there was something, let's say nail polish that was odd. If it was a chip nail polish, sometimes a chip nail polish is worse than beautifully nail polished nails, because that's not, it's miut sheino makpid. If there's, let's say you have a chip nail polish, so that is miut hamakpid, presumably, if it bothers a woman. So my point is that lechatchila we are strict, even miut sheino makpid, but b'di'eved it's a val tvila. So sometimes, depending on if they're close to the mikvah, should they go again? Do they not have to go again? So one of the questions is going to be is, was the chatzitza something that's a miut she'eino makpid? Once we're dealing with a miut she'eino makpid, then b'di'eved we can be very lenient, especially if it's difficult to go to the mikvah again. But we're not going to be lenient on a nisa d'rabbanan. In other words, if it's a miut hamak, if it's something that really, if it's something that someone finds after going to the mikvah, is something that they would not go out in public. It's like really, like it looks really bad. So that's harder to say, okay, let the mikvah, let the immersion stand, because that would be a miut hamakpid, and that would be an issue, that would be a chatzitza midrabana. Okay, so the Gemara says, mechitzo, so this halacha of miut and makpid, so this is what is halacha l'moshe misinai. So now we've done shiurin, we've done chatzitzin, and now we're going to do mechitza. The Gemara says, mechitza deraisa ninu. Same thing. How can you say that machitzas are halacha l'moshe misinai? They're deraisa, damar mar, aron tisha. So the aron was at a height of 9 tfachim, and the kapores tefach, and the kapores, that's the covering of the aron, is another tefach. So hare kad asara. So what do we see here? That this is the aron and the kapores were a total of 10 tfachim. And we learn from here that the height of a halachic mechitza is 10 tfachim, right? Because how do we know that? Because apparently that we learn in a braisa in Sukkah that the Shechina never went down to the Oretz. We say Hashemayim Shemayim Lashem, V'Oretz Nasan L'Bnei Adam, that the heaven belongs to God and the land is given to man. So the Gemara in Sukkah wants to say that the Shechina never went down to the Oretz, to the ground. And nevertheless, it says in the Pasuk that the Shekhinah dwelt, and whatever that means, the Divine Presence dwelled on top of the Kapores, because it was a Pasuk say in Truma, V'dibarti t'cha me'al Kapores. Shem said, I'm going to speak with you from on top of the Kapores. So what do we see? That above 10 Tfachim is not considered the Rishus of the Oretz, the domain of the land. So since the Rishus of the land, the domain of the land, is until 10 Tfachim, so therefore a Machitza that establishes the boundaries of the reshus, the domain of the land, needs to be 10 tfachim. That's how we understand it. So what do we see from here? We see that the height of a mechitza is learned from the Torah. How can we say it's l'chol Moshe Misinai? So lo nitzcha l'Rabbi Yehuda da'amar amas binyan ba'ama bas shisha va'amas kelim ba'ama bas chamisha. So this statement of that mechitzos is l'chol Moshe Misinai only follows Rabbi Yehuda. Because Rabbi Yehuda says that the ama of the building of the Mishkan, i.e. the curtains, the boards, so that was measured with 6 tefach amas. And the amas hakelim, the ama when it came to measuring kelim, like the aron, the mizbeach, or the shulchan, so that's ba'ama bas chamisha. So that is 5 tefach amas. According to his opinion, you cannot learn the height of a machitza from the aron. Because why? Because the aron was, see, the Torah says that the height of the aron was ama v'chetzi. That says in the Torah, ama v'chetzi. That's 1.5 amos. So if you believe if you believe that an ama is 6 tfachim, so what is that? That's 9 tfachim plus 1 for the kapores. However, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he says that an ama is really 5 tfachim, so therefore, according to him, the ama was only 7.5 tfachim high, let's say one other tefach for the kapores, so obviously you're not learning from the aron. So therefore, we're saying that, so therefore you'd have to learn mechitza from halacha l'moshe misinai, according to Rabbi Yehuda. And then the Gemara finally says, though, why, l'shit l'Rabbi Meir, d'amar kol ha'amos hayu beinonis, Michael Meir, but what about Rabbi Meir, who says that all abos are 6 tefach abos, what can you say? So Rabbi Meir, ki yaseh hilchasa Lagud, Lalava, Udofen Akuma. He says there are certain halachos of mechitzos which we learn, not the 10 tefach, the fact that a mechitza is 10 tefachim high, that is not halachos of Moshe Mishina, but there are other halachos. Good, what's good? That's good asik. That we're saying that go and extend upwards. So, for example, my backyard, my deck. So my railings on my deck can serve as a machitza, because each one is 40 inches tall, which according to all opinions is 10 tefachim. So even though there'll be airspace, let's say, between the railings of my deck and where I put my schach on top, doesn't make a difference. We say good asik. We say that go extend upwards, that the walls can magically extend upwards. Or lelavud. Lavud is what? Let's say you have a machitza is missing. There's some airspace that's less than 3 tefachim. In the middle, the airspace is considered closed. And dofen akuma, we saw that, I think, in yesterday's daf. We have a crooked wall. You have a sukkah. You have a wall, and then there's an overhang. So up to 4 amos, we look at the overhang as not pasul schach, but we look at it as part of the wall. So these are halacha lemoshe misina. Okay, let's stop here, because.